From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. When he was growing up, country music singer and songwriter Daryl Scott watched his father work in the steel mills and install chain-link fences. Off hours, his father led the family band, with Daryl and his four brothers. Later, Daryl Scott started writing his own songs that were recorded by country music stars, and he started performing his own songs. When he started his own record label, the first person he recorded was his father. On today's Fresh Air, Daryl and Wayne Scott join us to sing a duet and talk about their lives. Also, rock critic Ken Tucker reviews Rockford, the new CD by the 70s band Cheap Trick. The band wrote and performed the theme song for the Colbert Report. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When Daryl Scott became successful enough with his own country music career to start his own record label, the first thing he did was pay tribute to his father, Wayne Scott. He produced an album of his father singing mostly his own songs, the songs that Daryl heard his father sing when he was growing up. My guests are Daryl Scott and his father, Wayne Scott. Daryl first made his mark in Nashville as a songwriter. His songs have been recorded by Garth Brooks, the Dixie Chicks, Travis Tritt, Tim McGraw, Patti Loveless, and Sarah Evans. At the 2002 Country Music Awards, he won the ASCAP Songwriter of the Year Award. His own albums are more alternative country, and he plays with Steve Earle's Bluegrass Dukes. His father, Wayne, who is now in his 70s, made his living working in steel mills and installing chain-link fences. They'll play a duet for us a little later, but let's start with a track from the album Daryl produced of his father singing. Then we'll hear a track from Daryl's new album, The Invisible Man.
It ain't love, it ain't money that makes this world turn around. When you hit rock bottom, you may not be on the ground. Let me tell you something in case you're walking with the cane. It ain't love, it ain't money, it's a whiskey that eases the pain.
Well, he's got no business leaving at such an early age. Can't even balance his checkbook. Look at him, he's staring down that road like he can't wait to get away. And he won't even give him a last look. Brother's kicking gravel like it's no big deal. Mama's on the front porch crying. Dad says, come on, girl, he's got a date with the world. And it's just too less age to be frying. The way it was explained to me, history repeats history.
Okay, we heard Wayne Scott singing It's the Whiskey That Eases the Pain, his own song, and that CD was produced by his son Daryl Scott, and from Daryl Scott's new CD, The Invisible Man, we heard Do It or Die Tryin'. Daryl Scott, Wayne Scott, welcome both of you to Fresh Air. A pleasure to have you here. Daryl, when you started your record company, the first album you released was by your father. Now, you know, you're pretty well known in the world of country music. So why did you want your first record to be your father's music?
Well, I just thought it was important. His music is important. I know I'm his son and all that, and there's that going for it, but I really feel that his music is important just because it's so pure and true, especially to the form of really country music or mountain kind of music. I heard these songs all my life, and I know them backwards and forwards, and it was just time to finally get him to come and record these, you know, with a bunch of my friends down here in Nashville, or in some cases we went to him up in Kentucky in his living room, and I just thought it was time.
You've said that you used to think that all the songs he sang were by Hank Williams and Johnny Cash and other venerated songwriters. When did you realize a lot of those songs were his own?
Well, yeah, they kind of blended together because around the house he would do all of that. He'd do Johnny Cash and Hank and Merle Haggard and all that and his own. And there was a time where I didn't know which was which. It was just all blended in as what I thought were great songs. I'd say probably somewhere in my mid to late teens, I started catching on that, okay, that's the Hank stuff, and there's the Johnny Cash stuff, and really starting to see his songs, which were his. And actually, it took, there was one song, which is the title of the record, This Weary Way. I didn't know that that was not a Hank Williams song until my late 20s. It just seemed so perfectly Hank in terms of style, in terms of structure, and that may be from my opinion, my dad's best song. And so that's one that took me an extra 10 years to figure out that it wasn't Hank's.
Wayne Scott, why didn't you make it more clear to your sons that you were writing songs?
I decided to try to be a singer instead of a writer. I tried singing my songs once, and I didn't like the cold feet and cold shoulder I got singing them.
And he's talking about a club. I mean, we used to play clubs like when I was a teenager. So he's talking about a night playing in a bar, you know, where they come to dance and drink and play five sets a night as far as the band is concerned. So that's what he's referring to, you know, that he did his songs one night. And, you know, of course, they wouldn't know the songs and wondering why he's not doing, you know, the top 10 of the country music at that time. So I think that was his brush with trying out new, you know, his material out in public.
Did you give up after one shot at it?
Yeah. I never done it again. Now that's all I do, and it's great. I'm glad that he talked me into doing it, and it's a new experience to me, and people actually listen to me too.
Well, you very, very generously offered to perform a duet for us, so I'd like to ask you to do a song that Wayne Scott you do on your CD. And it's called Sunday with My Son, and it's a song that you wrote. Let me ask you to tell us what you're talking about in the song. It seems to be a song that directly comes out of your life.
Every word of it's the truth. That's the only way I can write. I only have inspiration. I don't have no education. Not that it's a gripe. I chose it. But my son was... the youngest one. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I had him one Sunday afternoon for 3 hours, and we chose, I just love nature, so we went out into the woods to gather leaves and pine cones and things like that, and it was so beautiful, the song started going. I had to keep turning my back to him to not let him see the old man crying, and come up with that song. So by the next morning, I had all of it, and it said exactly what I wanted it to say, and this is it.
So
you want to hear it now?
I absolutely want to hear it now, yeah.
Okay.
One, two. As I look back on some bitter years, some things don't mean a thing. Like chasing women, writing songs, riding trucks and old freight trains. When I reach back for happy thoughts of things that I have done, one thing that I remember most is a Sunday with my son. From the mouths of little children comes truth and honesty. And this I kept remembering as we gathered autumn leaves. When memory feeds upon the past of things that I have done, one thing that I remember most was a Sunday with my son. Fill his heart with happiness the way that he fills mine. But you just can't make up 10 lost years in just 3 hours' time. Reflections calls for happy thoughts. When it does, well, I've got one. One thing that I remember most is a Sunday with my son. From the mouths of little children comes truth and honesty. And this I kept remembering as you gathered autumn leaves. When memory feeds upon the past of things that I have done, one thing that I remember most is a Sunday with my son. When memory memory feeds upon the past of things that I have done. One thing that I remember most was Sunday with my son. Sunday with my son. Sunday with my son.
Oh, thank you for doing that. That's Wayne Scott singing and playing and guitar, and his son Daryl Scott accompanying him on banjo. And Daryl, thank you for bringing your father to our attention.
Absolutely,
by
truly
recording
my
him
pleasure.
And pushing him forward like that. Like that.
So, truly my pleasure.
So Daryl, you have actually been able to make your career in music, both as a performer and as a songwriter. I mean, you as a songwriter, you've had several hits on the top of the Billboard Country chart.
Mm-hmm.
Did watching your father when you were growing up, watching him perform, but making a living all kinds of other ways, from working in the steel mill, I think, and
mm-hmm. steel mills and fence construction,
yeah,
delivering oil and mm-hmm. all sorts of things,
and moving around the country. So uh-huh. watching him do that and just kind of playing on the side, did you think, well, me, I want to really play professionally and make my life playing?
Yeah, I think I kind of knew that even as a kid. It just was, I wouldn't say easy for me, but it came naturally. It was like a natural thing for me to gravitate toward and to play. And because I grew up in a family band. My dad, of course, played and sang and wrote. And I had older brothers who played and younger brothers. And, you know, it was just the kind of what you do as a family, how some go camping or fishing or into baseball or whatever. And our thing really was to play music. And so I was kind of, online for that, really from the age of six. I started playing. And, because our family business was fence construction, which is a really hard labor out in the sun kind of thing. I also learned, at about 11 or 12 that it was better for me to stay home, and while the others were working, someone needed to answer the phone and cook. We were a bunch of bachelors, basically. My brothers and I lived with my dad, and so I was the cook, and so I found a way to get out of hard labor actually pretty early. And I just kind of kept that up. I'm still not into hard labor.
Wayne Scott, when your sons were born, did you look at them one by one and think, this is going to be my band?
Yep. That's why they're...
Yeah, he absolutely did.
They're all D's.
Yeah, all your sons, their names all start with the letter D. Why is that?
Yeah, that was for that reason. And they're...
What, so you could start a band with them?
Yeah. And their introduction to music was when they come home, I laid them in the bed and stood over them and played Hank Williams, Johnny Cash. Played with them about an hour or so, so you wouldn't wake up when you heard me singing at 2 in the morning, and for those reasons.
Yeah, we were used to it.
Oh, it's funny.
They can sleep right through country music, or they can play it. Daryl, you knew he was a musician, I'd say at 3, and all the boys are professional, but... Daryl's the best. I mean, if it's got strings on it, he can play it. And at 3 years old, it was vivid that he wouldn't be no fence builder.
So how did having sons whose names each started with the letter D help you in playing music or creating a band? I mean, I don't get that part.
I was going to name them the 2 D's, the 3 D's, the 4 D's, or however many D's it took. It's all going to be D's, you know.
So Wayne Scott in the 4 D's, the 5 D's, yeah.
That's the way it came. And honestly, that was the reason. I was determined they'd be musicians.
My guests are Daryl and Wayne Scott. Daryl's new album is called The Invisible Man. His father's album is This Weary Way. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Daryl Scott and his father, Wayne Scott. Daryl has written many hit country songs. When he started his own record label, he produced a record by his father, Wayne. Daryl and his four brothers were raised by their father. Daryl, where was your mother when you were growing up?
Well, we started off in northern Indiana. That was the steel mill areas. And we all lived together then, and I guess when I was about 8 years old, they divorced. And then, oddly enough, remarried it about 2 years later. And so we all moved to California at that point. And then they divorced again. And so she was in the area. We'd see her often. But she just wasn't living with us.
Daryl, was it confusing for you when your parents divorced and then remarried and then divorced again?
Well, you know, I don't know about confusing. Maybe it was, but, you know, in another way, it speaks to, you know, how wild they must have been for one another, you know, that's a really sweet and wonderful thing. I guess they just couldn't figure it out, how to be a couple, in the long run. You know, it seemed like, they just couldn't keep away from each other. He's over there laughing. But that's what it seemed like to me, you know. And it seemed like as far as because of the first breakup, and basically we were awarded custody to him, if that's the wording for it. But basically he was our guardian after the first divorce. And it just seemed that was already sort of set as a way the family was going to be. So when they divorced the second time, it just also seemed there was no confusion about that. It seemed like if they weren't going to get it together, you know, me and my brothers were going to be with my dad, basically.
Wayne Scott, did you know any other fathers of five who were basically raising their children as single fathers?
No, not in those days. When I went to California, I started meeting some. There's quite a few mamas that ran away out there. Instead of the guy, it was the girls would do it just the same. But back here, I was the only one. The hardest part of it was learning to be the mom, but I really enjoyed the cooking and the cleaning and helping direct their music. They were just great, beautiful kids. They weren't the troublemakers that I knew that, you know, some of my buddies had. They were really good. Never a rest, never a school problem, no. It was just about perfect, you know. And besides that, they played music.
Sounds good. Well, Daryl Scott, can I ask you to sing one of your songs? And why don't you do one of the songs from your new CD?
Yeah, this is one called Hank Williams' Ghost. Checking the mic here. Two.
In the early morning hours, just before you're wide awake, before you've summoned all your powers to cover up your big mistake.
when all the coulda, woulda bands that collide with should've known. Yeah, and all your raging angst hillbilly sins have an odor all their own. Oh, but it's all right, it's okay. Yeah, you learn to look the other way. Life is short, life is long. Hey, get your guitar and sing a song. Da 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 da. Now you're kicking back the covers. Yeah, now you're ready to make your stand. You never, ever, really ever thought that you were quite like all the others. No, you had promise in your hand. And you've studied truth and honor. Oh, but you did not pass the test. Up in heaven, you're a goner. Seems you're as human as the rest. Well, it's all right, it's okay. Yeah, you'll learn to stand some other way. Like on your knees, or maybe on your back. Hey, take one last breath and fade to black. Da 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 da.
That's Daryl Scott performing a song that's also featured on his new album, The Invisible Man. Daryl and his father, Wayne Scott, will be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Support for NPR comes from Barnes & Noble, publishers of the Barnes & Noble Classics edition of Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, in stores and online at bn.com. And from the Horace W. Goldsmith Foundation, supporting the new Museum of Modern Art in Midtown Manhattan. Information at moma.org. CDs and transcripts of Fresh Air are available from Burrell's Loose at 1-877-21-FRESH. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, more of our interview with father and son country music singers Wayne and Daryl Scott, and Ken Tucker reviews Rockford, the new comeback CD by the 70s rock band Cheap Trick.
I'm famous to my friends and family, to my friends and family. I'm a household name. They all know I could have been a contender, could have been a knee bender at the Walk of Fame. What goes up must surely come down. Facts and figures, they're fact of life. I only wanted to be in B-movies, be kind to strangers, and to call it a life. Yeah, ooh, ooh, yeah, just call it a life. In my mind, I'm the world's greatest lover. I'm the world's greatest lover, if you close your eyes. I am the silent type, under the covers, I can't tell such lies. But what goes up must surely come down. Facts of biology, they're a fact of life.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Daryl and Wayne Scott. Daryl has written songs recorded by Garth Brooks, Travis Tritt, the Dixie Chicks, and Sarah Evans. When he started his own label last year, he recorded an album by his father, Wayne, who had never recorded before and never made his living as a singer. Wayne Scott's album is called This Weary Way. Daryl has a new album called The Invisible Man. Here's a song written and sung by Daryl called Family Tree, from one of his earlier albums.
Dance.
dancing in the living room, cutting up a rug. Dancing with a baby looks more like a hug. Living in a house made of sawmill wood. Rolled over Beethoven never sounded so good. Come on, baby, baby, let's go. Where we get the money, honey, I don't know. One more baby's all right by me. We'll just add another limb to the family tree.
Joe, when you started playing with your father in bars when you were in your early teens, did it seem really cool to be doing that, or did it seem like just another like family obligation?
A little of both, you know, because you know, with him naming us D's, again, if you equate that he's growing his band, you know, there's obviously a path that seems to be that you're supposed to take, which is to play music, which I did. What I also did later, probably in my early 20s, was get out of music as I had known it, which was playing bars or, you know, playing other people's music largely. And, there, you know, inside me was this thing building up about really being an artist and being a writer and really finding my writer's voice. That I really kind of took myself off of that path that seemed to be paved for me. And I basically what I did is I went to college. I moved to an area where no one knew me, which was in Boston area. And I just kind of started all over. Looking back, I see that it was actually a huge, huge education for music and songwriting. But at the time, I was actually going there to do something other than music. And I got an English degree and started at a school called Middlesex Community College and then transferred into Tufts University, got an English degree, and really considered going down the, you know, the next step, which was maybe a master's program in creative writing and poetry and stuff like that. And so, you know, as I look back, that actually improved my songwriting, you know, day and night. There was a before. I went to school and studied poetry and literature, and then there's an after. And but at the time, I had to think that I was getting out of music, and I certainly was as I had known it, which was largely the bars.
You know, we were talking a little earlier about what it was like to grow up in the family, and you know, with five sons who all ended up playing music, and you all were in a band together. In Daryl, one of your songs called Hummingbird, you tell a story about, and I assume this is autobiographical, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you tell a story about when you were five and told to go play outside. You mm-hmm. went to play outside with your father's guitar because you wanted to see if it would float in the lake, and, you know, it didn't float. It drowned.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that guitar. True story?
Yeah, absolutely true. And that was while we were living in Northern Indiana, and there were a lot of swamps up there and cattails and stuff, and I'm not sure where we got it in our head to do that, but we did, and we took the guitar out in the back just to see if it would float, because it, you know, it was wood and uh-huh. all that kind of stuff, and yeah, that's a true story.
Wainscott, I'd really like to hear the story from your perspective as the father whose guitar was drowned by his five-year-old son.
He's here's it's a replacement. That is another Thunderbird, and he replaced it in
a hummingbird.
Hummingbird.
Yeah, what he's playing there is a hummingbird guitar that I gave him. It's a beautiful one. It's the best. The 1966 Hummingbird Gibson guitar I've ever heard. And I found it up in a shop in New England and presented it to him about 3 or 4 years ago.
They did destroy it. That song is true. And I wasn't one bit mad. I knew that someday, especially he, would be a known musician, something I could never be, or I didn't try to be or didn't want to be. But that was just slight mistake. I didn't scold him. I wasn't mad. I wasn't hurt. I'd like to keep the old guitar, but not enough to distort him any. So I just threw it in the weeds there when I saw it. I mean, it was gone.
Daryl, I know when you first moved to Nashville, you moved into your father's house. And Wayne Scott, mm-hmm. where were you living if Daryl moved into your house?
Oh, I went back to Kentucky. I didn't know that I was a forerunner of him, but he needed the house, and I need to sell it, and I don't belong in Nashville. I like it, you know, up there in the hills and my four-wheeler and those kind of things. So,
you grew up in Kentucky?
Oh, yeah.
Did your parents work on a tobacco farm?
Yeah. Well, uneducated, I had to go where there's a broom to push. But once I got in there, you know, I got the top job pretty soon because I could learn, and I did. And but I couldn't just call my shots where to live or till, with no education, you can't just can't do that. And I don't say it as a gripe. I like the outside, so I love building fences. Say in California, I could build them 12 months out of the year, and weed the same in January as we do in June, you know. It was neat. It was great. I was my own boss, and I could schedule the music. I could quit when I wanted to or had to. It was great for me, but I'm not recommending it to no one else. Get you an education.
You left home when you were, what, 15 or 16?
Yeah.
Why did you leave? What did you want to get away from?
Dad worked us 6 days a week. Well, most people did because it was poor. I mean, poverty. And I belonged to Mom on Sunday, and she was great in church, so it gave me 7 days a week, you know, and that was what I wanted away with. I didn't leave in anger or none of that. It was time to spread my wings. I mean, I had to go, and I'm glad they allowed me. And I took one look in a coal mine, and I swore if I ever dig coal, it's not going to be on this earth. I'll go anywhere.
Did you have family who worked in the mines, in the coal mines?
They all did. Uh-huh. Grandparents and all. And So if you live in East Kentucky, or you did in my day, and didn't want to dig coal, you went north or you went west. So I went north, and that's too cold for me. And then I went west, and California was paradise to me. I stayed 22 years there. So
building fences in California seemed like paradise compared to the coal mines.
Lord, yeah. I wouldn't dig coal. I wouldn't.
Daryl, you have a song in which there's a lyric about a tombstone in Harlan County that says, "You'll never get out of Harlan County alive." Is there? Mm-hmm. Did you see a tombstone that actually said that?
No, that's the little poetic license. But that was the impression of it. I mean, basically, I went to Harlan County to see to research what happened to a great grandfather of mine. Who, I mean, they did move from Harlan County to as miners to Knox County as poor farming. And something happened went after the move. He must have done something bad or something. He just sort of exited family oral history. There's no record of what happened to him at all. And so I went to Harlan County to do some research. And I came up with no information on him whatsoever. And so that song, "You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive," is absolutely a true story, a true song, and I had to make up, so to speak, the last verse. And if you know, at least in my family, if you have roots in Eastern Kentucky and Harlan County specifically, there's a mythology that goes on about it. Bloody Harlan and how tough it is, how sort of fighting that it is, you know. And again, if you understand, my parents were born in the 30s, and we have, you know, generations of Kentucky family ahead of that. The myth runs pretty deep. And so for me, poetically, You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive was just to see, it seemed to shake hands with the upbringing I had about the mythology of Harlan County.
Well, would you be willing to do one verse of your song about Harlan County?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I trace my bloodline. And it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, said you will never leave Harlan alive.
Well, thanks for doing that. Wayne Scott, what do you think of that song? I mean, you grew up.
My eyes are wet now. I'm crying. It reminds me so much of my old grandma and granddad. They had 10 children, and Patty Loveless sings that song, and I had to keep my handkerchief out while she is singing, but that's a sad one to me. It's so real.
My guests are Daryl and Wayne Scott. Daryl's new album is called The Invisible Man. His father's album is This Weary Way. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Daryl Scott and his father, Wayne Scott. Daryl has written many hit country songs and recorded several albums of his own. When he started his own record label, he produced a record by his father, Wayne. Well, Daryl Scott, some of the people who have had hits with your songs include the Dixie Chicks, Travis Tritt, Sarah Evans, Garth Brooks. Did they ask you for songs? How did you manage to get them to them?
You know, for the most part, as I see the songs that were cut by other people, I see songs that were taken from records that I put out, even in the small way that I would put them out in an independent label, or now where I'm putting them out on my own with my own label and distribution and stuff. So I can only assume that someone in either the record company or the producers or the artists themselves were, I guess, fans of the music, of my records. And, you know, in town here, there's a thing, you know, called a pitch, you know, where you pitch songs, you know who's recording, you kind of even know what they're looking for, you know who their producer is, you know their general sound. I haven't had a lot of success in the normal pitch world, but it seems the success I've had has come from the song sort of bubbling up through their camp. Someone in their camp loving the song or thinking that it would be right for the artist, or the artist, you know, loving the song. The pitch hasn't worked, it seems to me. It's but putting out my own records in the, that seems to be where they're getting the songs.
It seems to me that in Nashville you live in two different worlds. You put out kind of like alternative country albums, I think it's fair to call it that. But at the same time, you have songs that have been on, you know, like mega-selling records, like by the Dixie Chicks and Garth Brooks. So you've got a taste of both worlds there.
Yeah, and I can tell you one finances the other.
That's what I figured, right, know? Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I'm able to put out records like my dad's or my Odd Records or whatever, you know. It's because, you know, I'm making money from the songs doing well. And rather than buying real estate or boats that I don't need or things like that that come to some people with success here in town, I'm throwing it back into music, and I'll do that until the money runs out, basically.
Daryl, you have a really good song called Family Tree about mm-hmm. about being kind of broke but having another baby. Do you have kids?
Absolutely. I have three children.
You have three?
Mm-hmm.
Do they all play?
You know, they're just starting to sort of surround that idea right now, and I've been very hands-off about that. Of course, they've been surrounded by music and sessions in their living rooms and shows and stuff that they've seen and friends, musician friends and all, but as far as them playing an instrument, they have just started to do that in the last year, I would say.
How old are they?
Let's see. We've got 11-year-old, 13-year-old boys, and almost 16-year-old girl.
I mean, you come from a family where the whole family played, and they played together. Do you want your children to play with you?
No. I mean, that isn't like a vision of mine. I want them to do what their heart is leading them to do, whatever that is. That's way, way, way more important to me. I don't have visions of them playing with me. I want them to do what they want to do.
You know, you, Daryl Scott, you put out your father Wayne Scott's first and only album last year when you started your record company. And Wayne Scott, has that affected your life a lot? Did you get a lot of performances after that? What are some of the ripple effects that's had?
I've told him at the beginning, I don't want to leave this mountain range, you know. Anything he can get me anywhere in the Appalachian range or this area, I would do him. And the greatest thing I've ever done, he had me do Merle Fest in North Carolina. Everything I ever did in music, that took the cake for me. That was great. But, you know, to go anywhere else, I'm not even into that. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'd rather be home. And
I know a ripple effect.
Yeah.
It's that he's told me a lot about is hearing his records on the radio in his area, right?
Oh, yeah. That's something to hear your son. And then as the years go by, here's me the same way, you know. That's cotton don't grow like that in my holler, you know.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for talking with us. Thank you.
Thanks,
Terry.
Daryl and Wayne Scott. Daryl's new CD is called The Invisible Man. Here's the title track from the album he produced of his father singing, This Weary Way. Daryl's featured on guitar. It was recorded in Daryl's living room.
Once I was a slave for Satan, many wrong things I have done, many hearts have been broken, too late to right the wrongs I've done. Won't you listen to me, brother? Down on your knees and pray. If you wander long as I have, oh Lord, help a man who may pass his weary way.
Coming up, Cheap Trick has a comeback CD, and Ken Tucker has a review. This is Fresh Air.
Thank you.
The rock band Cheap Trick had a string of pop rock hit singles in the late 70s, such as I Want You to Want Me and Dream Police. These days, the band is probably best known for singing the opening theme song In the Street for the sitcom That 70s Show. But rock critic Ken Tucker says the band's new album Rockford is a startling surprise, the same old sound made fresh.
Because the genre known as pop rock relies for its fuel on the hot blood of adolescence, it's rare for a band of middle-agers to musically recapture their youth. For evidence, I'd point you away from recent releases by Big Star and the so-called New Cars. Most of the time, it's better for musicians to just grow up and craft songs that mean something to their adulthood, to grow up or go away. But if I say that Cheap Trick has achieved a state of arrested development, I mean it as a compliment. Or more honestly, a statement of wonder. I mean, they've been trying to make a decent comeback record for the past 10 years. Where did a new song as good as this come from? This is Cheap Trick in its most familiar lineup. Guitarist Rick Nielsen, singer Robin Zander, bassist Tom Peterson, drummer Bun E. Carlos. One thing the band has going for it is that it's always been a goof, a put-on of a pop rock band acting like a hard rock band. Whether you looked at Zander's poofy hairdo or Nielsen's ridiculously big baseball cap or winced at Bun E. Carlos's silly stage name. His real name is Brad Carlson. There was an element of instant or freeze-dried nostalgia hovering over the band from its beginnings in Rockford, Illinois in 1973. They immediately gave into, and therefore transcended, the exaggerated gestures and bombastic excesses demanded of rock acts that played big stadiums in the late 70s. A song on the new album seems to address their past and present in an oblique way.
Since you
This Time We Got It works as both a song about a romantic couple working through its difficulties and as an assertion that this time around, Cheap Trick has its act together again at least one more time. They tried to assure that this album, Rockford, got a commercial boost by collaborating with professional hitmaker Linda Perry, who's worked with everyone from Courtney Love to Pink, on one song here, Perfect Stranger. But that tune is so generic, it doesn't even merit playing. Overall, Rockford has its share of flimsy songs, but you don't hold those against them. They just give you a chance to catch your breath before another good one comes around, and to laugh and marvel at the life in this music. And talk about having cheerfully pointless hip cred. They wrote and performed the theme song for Comedy Central's The Colbert Report. For a bunch of cynical old tarts, these guys are, on their own terms, the real thing. Sellouts who deserve to sell out stadiums and record stores.
Ken Tucker is editor-at-large for Entertainment Weekly. He reviewed Rockford by Cheap Trick. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Ian Chillog, Patty Leswing, Sam Brigger, and Jonathan Menhivar. I'm Terry Gross.
Support for NPR comes from Capella University, an accredited university offering more than 20 doctoral degree programs online at capella.edu. From Ann and John Herman, supporting City Year and the young adults who dedicate a year of their lives to community service and leadership development, cityyear.org. And from the Ford Foundation, committed to creating opportunities for people to live freer, better, and more prosperous lives. Online at FordFound.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air for the 4th of July, an interview with one of America's greatest film editors, Thelma Schoonmaker, about working with one of America's greatest living directors, Martin Scorsese. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.